I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, it's a big day today, that's for sure, because it's Friday and it's almost the election. We're almost here. It's the weekend, and Donald Trump is speaking right now in Texas on immigration. That's right. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Scioli. Got my Go Bird shirt on for the Eagles game on Sunday. Why not? It's casual Friday, baby. Why not? Let's do this. Let's jump in here and take a listen. We got a big show for today. Elise Stefanik's going to join us. Of course, Dr. Victoria Coates, Dr. Wilfred Riley. We're very excited about the show ahead. Let's jump in and take a listen to the former and future president talking about the border in Austin, Texas.
In the early 1900s, very tough law that if you so much as touch against in violation of anybody's word, if you so much as touch a monument or a statue, you get 10 years in jail. And I had a news conference, and the town was flooded. We had a news conference. They had actually a rope around Andrew Jackson's head, the beautiful statue. And I said, we're going to go fast. And I went out, I did it. And within, it was a beautiful sight. The second I now 10 years in jail, no probation, nothing. And as soon as I said it, everybody just sort of walked. I could see them walking. I don't want to use the term I used last night. A certain part of their body. I watched the back. I saw thousands of them. And I said, what a beautiful sight. They just left. And that was the end. We had no more problem until about a month ago, 2 months ago in D.C., where they became very violent. They were fighting with police. They were putting spray paint on our beautiful, on the lions, the beautiful lions. And, you know, they're sandstone, and that's a very porous stone. You'll see that spray paint for many years to come, like hundreds of years. You can't really get it out. It goes deep into the stone. And to the best of my knowledge, nothing happened to them, did it? They were beating up cops, or the cops were beating them up, but they were fighting. They were fighting our police, our great police.
We're streaming live on YouTube, by the way, if you want to join us and join the chat and join the fun.
And I'm going to end all migrant flights immediately. You know, they're still flying flights coming in with 450,000 people over a fairly short. 450,000, that's a lot of flights. And I'm going to outlaw immediately, and we're going to ask you guys to help on that. But we're going to outlaw immediately sanctuary cities. They're sanctuaries for criminals. And we're going to end catch and release once and for all. And Kamala Harris, she started this nightmare. Open border, no common sense. We're the party of common sense. There's no common sense to an open border. And I will stop this nightmare immediately. November 5th, 2024 will be Liberation Day in America. So I want to thank everybody for being here. And Alexis, I want to thank you, darling. And your daughter, very proud of you right now, I can tell you. Very proud. This unbelievable family back there, thank you very much. We won't forget it. We're going to meet in the White House. We get there. I told her we're going to have lunch in the White House. All right? And that goes for you. Are we allowed to bring Alexis? Can we do that? They said yes, okay? So we're going to do that in honor of your beautiful Jocelyn.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right. That's the former and future president speaking in Texas. We'll grab some audio of that for you for later in the show. Welcome. Glad you're here today on a Friday. Closing arguments in the election. Kamala Harris doubling down again on Trump being a threat to democracy. And the Trump campaign has put out what I think is one of the greatest political ads I've ever seen from a Holocaust survivor. A 75-year-old Holocaust survivor, a man who was in Auschwitz, talking about Trump and how he's not Hitler and how Trump is a friend of the Jews, and just absolutely amazing, amazing stuff. One of the absolute best political ads I've ever seen. And we're going to play that for you as well, because Hillary Clinton is even doubling down on this idea that Trump is a threat to democracy and Trump is a danger. And I mean, it's just it's really frustrating that we're at this place right now, that we're comparing him to Adolf Hitler. Even National Review, and National Review, by the way, which did an entire issue on the never Trump. There was never Trump. That's what it was. The whole issue was don't vote for Donald Trump. Even National Review's editor-in-chief, Rich Lowry, has a piece today. No, Trump is not a fascist. And he goes all in on explaining how Donald Trump is not a fascist. So that's where we are right now. Even National Review coming out and saying that. So we'll get to that with you as the show goes on today. But we got a lot of great stuff for you. And I'm very, very excited about the fact that we are almost done with this election. We're almost done. And thank God, because we've all had it. Right. We've had enough. There's also a big investigation on in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. The district attorney out there talking about this, and the district attorney in Lancaster County talking about voter fraud and the big investigation. And we're going to talk about that as well today, because there's a lot of shenanigans. And I'm telling you, it's the shenanigans that keep happening in Philadelphia and throughout Pennsylvania. We got to be aware of it. That's why I got to go to protectthevote.com. If you see anything, you got to say something. See anything, say something. Don't wait, all right? Anything you encounter personally in your life, when you're trying to vote, you got to make sure that you're doing it. And you got to make sure that you get out there and you report this and you let everybody know, all right? But here's something very important to start the show with today. Pennsylvania undecided voters, they are not buying this idea that Kamala Harris or that Donald Trump is a fascist. But let's begin with this, the video of the Auschwitz guy. I see it. I'm sorry, Matt. Thank you. Number nine, Jerry Wartsky, an American Auschwitz survivor, who says Kamala owes his parents and everybody else who was murdered by Hitler an apology. So it's a video ad. So we're going to stream it for you live on YouTube so you can see it. Very, very powerful ad. It's about 90 seconds or so. Probably one of the most powerful ads I've seen in the campaign. It's going to give you chill bumps. There's no way it can't. And I'm so grateful that this guy came out and said this, because it is absolutely beyond outrageous that we are comparing a former president of the United States of America to Hitler. You know, it's one thing to do this crap in 2016. It's another thing to do it in 2024, and I'll tell you why. Because it implies that the 80 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump voted for Adolf Hitler, voted for a fascist, voted for a guy who is an authoritarian fascist. And what does that say about the American people? Well, what does it say about the Democrats that they think the American people voted for somebody like that? You know what it says? It says that they think you're even worse than a deplorable. You're a Nazi sympathizer. You're somebody who would elect somebody like Adolf Hitler. That's what the Democrats are saying. Forget basket of deplorables now. Now it's basket of Nazis. Basket of Nazi sympathizers. That's what they're implying by saying this about you. Because it's not just simply a matter of saying that Donald Trump is like this. Guy, he was president. So for the American people to elect a man to the presidency who they say is Adolf Hitler means that you, that this country, that we're capable of doing that. That's what the Democrats think of us. It's absolutely shameful. And I don't know if anybody's put it in that context for you to think about but me. But think about it from that perspective. Like, we've talked about the perspective of how Trump is not Hitler and Trump is not a fascist. But what does it say that Democrats say that you elected a guy who they think is? It is the ultimate insult to you. It is the ultimate insult to me. It is the ultimate insult to the 81 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump to suggest that they would vote for, when their family members, many of them, lost relatives dying in World War II to defeat Adolf Hitler and defeat the Nazis, that they would vote for somebody like Adolf Hitler. This is way worse than just basket of deplorable stuff here. This is implying that you support fascism. This is what they think of us. But thank God Jerry Wartsky is speaking out against this. Good for him. Let's take a listen and watch this campaign commercial featuring this 75-year-old survivor of Auschwitz. Take a listen. Cut 9.
My name is Jerry Wartsky. I'm 94 years old and survivor of Auschwitz and the death marches. Adolf Hitler invaded Poland when I was 9 years old. He murdered my parents and most of our family. I know more about Hitler than Kamala will ever know in 1,000 lifetimes. For her to accuse President Trump of being like Hitler is the worst thing I've ever heard in my 75 years living in the United States. I know President Trump, and he would never say this, and Kamala Harris knows it. This, she owes my parents and everybody else who was murdered by Hitler an apology for repeating this lie.
Why should the Jewish people support President Trump?
Because he's a mensch. I believe that President Trump is definitely going to be good for Israel, because in everything that he's done up to now was in favor. He never double-crossed anyone, and he never showed any weakness. Watching President Trump pray for the hostages at the Ohel and getting to spend time with him so meaningful. He has always stood with the Jewish people and the state of Israel.
He's always stood for the Jewish people and the state of Israel. He's a mensch. He's a mensch. But even today, Kamala Harris doubled down by saying that Donald Trump is a threat and a danger. It's shameful. But how are voters thinking about this? How are Pennsylvania undecided voters thinking about this? So on this video that was put out, these Pennsylvania undecided voters are soundly rejecting this idea that Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler, cut number 10.
In the last few days, the vice president has started to talk about Donald Trump as a fascist, as someone who's spoken approvingly of Hitler. Raise your hand if you've heard about those comments. Okay. What do folks think? Is that something that's persuasive to you? Is that something that you'll factor into your vote? Linda.
To me, it's horrible that she's saying that about him. If he was saying that about her, everybody would be up in arms. I just don't think that's right.
What other folks think about what the vice president's saying, based on accounts of people who've worked with the President Trump? What do folks think about her making those charges and those characterizations?
She obviously thinks it's going to help her. I don't think it does at all. I don't know why, if it was Kelly who heard the president say that. I'm not saying he did or he didn't. I don't think he'd lie. I think you said that, Mark, on an episode. But I think that he had a responsibility to resign the day that was said, if that's true. I don't think that's the case.
I can't. I think part of the reason why I'm being pushed towards Trump so strongly is that I find that the Democrats and the left just keep going straight to Hitler all of the time with everything. Like, if it's not the left pushing Hitler, it's the right pushing Stalin. So it's like we're fighting World War II every single day for every single election. So it's so exhausting. I think it just detracts from, it pushes me away from their position, and it, you know, it's so hyperbolic that it makes it impossible to have good discussions, and I think it ruins the discourse.
Does anybody think it's valuable or something you want to hear from the vice president? Anybody raise your hand if you think this is something that's important for her to be talking about. Anybody? Okay.
Nobody. 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 See, this is the thing. And I don't know what that guy is talking about with Stalin, because I don't know anyone on our side who has invoked Stalin. We've talked about how Kamala Harris is a Marxist and has lots of Marxist and socialist ideas. Those are political philosophies. Joseph Stalin was a genocidal maniac, just like Adolf Hitler was. I've not heard one serious conservative opinion maker compare her to Joseph Stalin or suggest that she would put famine on people or do purges of political enemies. Not one. So this guy, again, this is a classic example of him trying to do the equation, the moral equivalency of like, well, you know, the left saying Hitler and the right saying Stalin. Nobody's saying Stalin. I don't think Kamala Harris is Joseph Stalin. I don't think she's capable of being Joseph Stalin. I think that her philosophies are very much inclined to be Karl Marx, who was a German philosopher, but that was then a philosophy that was embraced by Lenin and, I mean, communism in general, but, you know, to all those crazy college kids who tell you that the problem with communism was just it was never tried right because it was only tried by homicidal, genocidal maniacs like Lenin and Stalin and Pol Pot and Chairman Mao and Justin Trudeau's father, allegedly. This is the thing. Nobody has said that, but they keep saying the Hitler thing. But it's not working. In the final days of this, the closing argument of this, and yes, I got a haircut if you're wondering on the YouTube community. I did get a haircut. It's Fox News on Sunday, so I'll be on Sunday. So anyway, in the final closing hours here, Kamala Harris is still doubling down on this. And Donald Trump is in Texas talking about the border. And he also said at a Turning Point USA event, we're going to frack, frack, frack. We're going to drill, baby, drill. It's not moving the needle on this, but I just think it's so incredibly insulting to you, to me, to everybody who voted for him to suggest that we are capable of voting for Adolf Hitler. We're capable of voting for a fascist. We're capable of voting for somebody who is a genocidal maniac. It just shows you how little they think of you. One thing to make that argument in 2016, which I still don't think is okay to make, but the guy was president of the United States of America. And you're making that argument now. And he ran twice, and he got more votes the second time around, which means that more Americans were capable of voting for Adolf Hitler the second time around. These people have no respect for you. They look down on you. They put you down. They mock you. And it's very, it really is telling what Rich Lowry over at National Review wrote when he said Trump is not a fascist. And he compared him to Andrew Jackson in a lot of ways. And of course, my favorite part about Andrew Jackson is that a guy tried to assassinate him. The gun backfired twice, and Andrew Jackson beat the crap out of the guy with his cane, which I love. I really do. But he said, as Andrew Jackson's biographer noted, Old Hickory believed the country was being controlled by a kind of congressional, financial, bureaucratic complex in which the needs and concerns of the unconnected were secondary to those who were on the inside. He reflexively resorted to the language of combat and engendered a fierce resistance to his rule among those who dubbed him King Andrew. Placing Trump within this tradition doesn't make for a fevered closing argument, though. And it's not clear that Harris's message is going to appeal to the intended audience of fence-sitting Republicans disaffected with Trump. It's also not the first time they've done this. They tried this with George W. Bush, too, saying he was a fascist as well. But the indictment against Trump as a budding fascist often relies on distortions. He said in an interview that he wouldn't be a dictator except for day one, which is clearly joking. They've taken that joke and they've completely taken that out of context. Either stupid people have done it because they believed him or people who are not stupid have done it just purposely to lie. But it was clearly a joke. He said, no, I'm not going to be a dictator except on day one. He has said the National Guard or military would be deployed to quell election-related unrest in the streets if he wins. This has become Trump threatening to use troops to go after his political enemies, as if he's talking about the 101st Airborne arresting Democratic senators. But let's think about what Trump did do. He did, obviously, when he was president of the United States of America, appoint constitutional limited government justices to the United States Supreme Court. The people that are against him are the military-industrial complex. Think about that. If you're a fascist who wants to take over the world, wouldn't the military-industrial complex be loving you right now because you're going to be using them in a big, big way? But Trump, the war hawks are against him. In fact, Lowry points it out. He says, rather than pursuing the classic fascist objective of territorial aggrandizement through conquest, he inveighs against his party's own military hawks. In his first term, he appointed constitutionalist judges, reduced the power of the federal government, extolled free enterprise, and proved a profound friend of the Jewish state. Instead of pursuing a political racial purity like Adolf Hitler did, he is now trying to build a multiracial political coalition. And think about Hitler, too. He believed in an existential fight between the species, a conflict that the German race would wage in a war of annihilation against inferior people. We talk a lot about Hitler's extermination of the Jews, but it wasn't just the Jews. It was a lot of other people, too. I mean, Mengele did all kinds of horrific experiments on people, and Hitler also wanted anyone who was unworthy and only the Aryan race to be the dominant race on the planet. Not exactly what Trump is doing by building a coalition of Latinos and blacks and indigenous peoples. Oh, by the way, Biden is speaking at an indigenous peoples event, a Native American event today. He's mumbling and stuttering, and he also implied that Jill is basically a whore who sleeps with, I don't know, Indian chiefs. I'm not exactly sure, but we'll play that audio for you as well as the show progresses today. But here's the key. With all of this, know this. In the closing argument, it's not working. Those undecided voters in Pennsylvania who are like, this is ridiculous. And it's one thing in 2016 to make the argument that he could turn out to be Adolf Hitler, but when he was president of the United States already, and he was a guy who was pushing limited government ideas and putting constitutional judges who would rein him in, and a guy who did not start any new wars, it's kind of hard to make that argument when, as that Auschwitz survivor said in his commercial, Adolf Hitler invaded Poland. Donald Trump has not invaded any countries. Kamala Harris also, in her closing arguments today, has no economic message. It is very similar to Hillary Clinton in another aspect, which is it's just an anti-Trump message. Even CBS News' Nancy Cordes pointed this out and said that it's as if their argument in the closing days is being lost and completely being missed because everybody is only hearing Trump Hitler. That's what they're hearing. And so any argument that she has, any argument she's trying to make to win over undecided voters, it's all lost in the ether to this nonsense about Trump being a fascist. Nancy Cordes of CBS News saying that. I'll play that for you as well as the show goes on today. This is the big story of the hour, though, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneri of VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike should be your choice when it comes to getting that beautiful smile. But Kamala Harris doubled down again with Anderson Cooper saying, I think Donald Trump is a fascist. This is from her interview with CNN, or with Anderson Cooper of CNN, excuse me, cut number 12.
Do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I also believe that the people who know him best on this subject should be trusted.
Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House fembot / press secretary. Her programming also had her coming out to the White House podium and saying exactly that as well. Donald Trump is a fascist. Cut 13.
Is the president aware of John Kelly's assertion that Donald Trump meets the definition of a fascist and that Trump wanted the kinds of generals Hitler had?
I mean, look.
Look.
You have heard from this president over and over again about the threats to democracy, and the president has spoken about that. You've heard from the former president himself saying that he is going to be a dictator on day one. This is him, not us. This is him. And it's not just us, the White House, saying this. You've heard it from officials, former officials that worked for the former president, say this as well. So, you know, do we agree? I know that the vice president just spoke about this. Do we agree about that determination? Yes, we do. We do.
We do. We do. We do. And that means that 81 million Americans who voted for him voted for a fascist. This is how little they think of you. All right, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik is going to join us. We got a big Friday show for you. We're excited for the weekend. I'm excited you're here. We're streaming live on YouTube. So join the fun right now at youtube.com, 1210 WPHT. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, and watch the show. We're playing a lot of these video clips for you. So it's interactive, and you can chat along with your fellow Zeoli Army members. And we're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are with us today, and thank you for being here. Stream along on YouTube. We've got our show going on youtube.com/1210WPHT. We're playing a lot of these video clips for you so you can watch them. We'll be streaming later with Dr. Victoria Coates a little bit later in the show. Dr. Wilfred Riley's going to join us. Elise Stefanik's going to join us. It's a big Friday show for you, kids. Big Friday show. Hey, mark your calendar for November 13th. I can't tell you why, but I can tell you you're going to want to. All right, so hold the date, November 13th. That's all I can say for the moment, but hopefully next week we'll be able to tell you why. But in the meantime, just mark your calendar. Save the date, as they say in the wedding business. It's not a wedding. It's not a wedding. I mean, maybe it's a wedding. I can't tell you what it is, but just mark your calendar for that, all right? Also on Sunday, I'll be on Fox News with Mike Emanuel, 12-ish, 1-ish, not exactly sure the time yet. I'll tweet it out when it comes on, but we'll be talking Pennsylvania politics. So tune in for that. If you're around a television, that would be great. We're almost to the end of this nonsense, and by the nonsense, I mean the election. Trump campaign is counting on low-propensity voters in Pennsylvania, which is a good strategy. Get low-propensity voters out to vote, and don't take any chances on anything, and ensure voter integrity. That's why I keep saying, if you hear of anything, if you say hear something, say something. When it comes to ballots or ballot integrity or anything else, all right? It's incredibly important, incredibly important. And a question I have for you a little bit later in the show. Facial recognition technology, do you trust it in the hands of the federal government? Do you trust facial recognition technology in the hands of the federal government is a question I want to ask you, and I'll get into more detail with that a little bit later. But first, Ted is in Swarthmore. Ted, how are you? Happy Friday. What's going on, my man?
Happy Friday, Rich. Good to hear from you. And I just wanted to piggyback on what you were saying about Adolf Hitler and Donald Trump. All we need to do is look back at history. It's there for us to figure out. Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany without a single vote. Striking. Okay, that's number one. Number two, he had somebody by the name of Joseph Goebbels, who was his propaganda minister, who said, if you tell a lie big enough and continue to repeat it, people will eventually believe it. Huh. Then also in Germany, there was a company by the name of L.B. Farber, who was a pharmaceutical company who made the gas for Auschwitz. That product, that company was eliminated. But the parent company of that is a company called Bayer in a pharmaceutical industry. And they create the day after pill. The day after pill consists of the same chemicals that were used by the Germans. Why is it that there's a striking resemblance to the Democratic Party in all of these issues?
Well, you know, I think it's the lowest form of argument to equate anybody to Adolf Hitler. I really do. It's the lowest form of argument. It always comes back to that. There was even a joke about this, I think, on a South Park episode about everybody I hate is Hitler. I mean, it's beyond stupid. Ted, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a great weekend, okay?
You do the same, Rich. Same.
All right, appreciate it. 855-839-12.
Chemicals that were used.
855-839-1210 if you want to call in. Fred is in Folsom, PA. Fred, what's going on, man?
Hey, Rich, how are you? I love your show. I listen to it every day.
Thank you, Fred.
My wife and I voted now and today for the first time of my life. I'm 64. I'm a retired postal worker. And the line was out the door. It took us like 90 minutes to cast our vote.
90 minutes? Wow.
Yes. The line was out the door. And I would say at least 95% of people were Trump voters.
Wow.
Very nice, friendly. It was great. I'm just hoping we can pull. So I live in Delco, and I see a lot of this area is like blue near where I live.
That's
it's kind of like 50-50, but yeah, it is. It is. It's a good sign. It really is. I've never voted in mail-in in my life. And I was a former Democrat for my whole life until Trump came along 8 years ago. I'll never vote Democrat again.
Well, listen, man. A lot of people. I hear that from. They're woke, but in a good way woke. You know what I mean?
You know what? I was a Democrat, but I was never like the crazy progressive.
No.
You know, I had a union job, and it was just, if you don't vote Democrat, you're going to lose your job, which is nonsense. You know what I mean? And I try to tell people I used to work with, because I just retired. Don't listen to that crap.
Look, these are early voting numbers. These early voting numbers in PA, it's huge. I mean, the enthusiasm factor that we're seeing right now in Pennsylvania, what you're describing, these long lines, I think that's a great sign. I really do.
It really is. And we spoke to a girl there. I said, is this the first time you're voting? She turned 18. She was with her father. It's the first time for her voting. She, you know, they both said they're Trump voters.
Look at that.
Really, really good. Very, very, everybody was friendly. It was a really good time.
See, she's young, and she's a woman, and she's voting for Trump. Look at that, huh?
Yep. Well, you know, my daughter went to Temple, and she's poisoned by that Temple. I'm very disappointed in what they've done to our younger female voters. You know what I mean? They poison them in these colleges. It's terrible.
Yeah, no, it is. You're right. It absolutely is. And luckily, there's kind of an awakening about this that's happening, that's taking place in a big way. And a lot of that has to do with all these colleges allowing the anti-Semitic protests happening, like right here in our backyard of Penn. So that's the good news out of that. Yeah.
One more thing. I would love to get a Zoli Army shirt. I would buy one. How do you get them?
There's a site that has them. We have a link on our webpage at 1210wpht.com, and there's a link to where you can buy them. I appreciate your support and wanting to do that. That's great. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
But there is a link to it.
Once again,
our merch store.
We love your show, my wife and I. Thank you so much, Rich. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank your wife for me as well, my friend. I appreciate it. You have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the weekend. All right. Thanks, Fred. 855-839-1210. Excellent. Excellent stuff we got going on. All right. So let me play this clip for you as well, because I think this is critical. But wait, what is let me just see this right now. Philly Firefighters Union flips Senate endorsement. It's a lot of F's. Philly Firefighters Union flips Senate endorsement to Dave McCormick. Tired of political promises. That's a big deal. Sirens are sounding for Senator Bob Casey's campaign in Pennsylvania, where the Firefighters Union in deep blue Philly is ditching the incumbent Democrat and endorsing Republican Senate hopeful Dave McCormick instead. The union, the International Association of Firefighters Local 22, based in the city's industrial Northern Liberties neighborhood, represents more than 4,500 firefighters, paramedics, and EMTs. Union leaders announced a nod at a press conference with McCormick on Wednesday and explained their decision not to back Casey after endorsing him in three previous bids for U.S. Senate. The president of the union, President Mike Breslin, said our endorsement decision wasn't made lightly. He noted a big factor in their decision was Casey's absence from their communities. This election was the first time we ever met Senator Casey in all his years in office. You know why? Because Democrats like him take everybody for granted. That's why. And also, he was asleep for most of it. McCormick, who was joined at the press conference by potential future colleague Senator Bill Hagerty of Tennessee, thanked the union and vowed to always show up for its members if elected. He said, whether it's our police officers or our firefighters or our first responders, I will fight to ensure that those who put their lives on the line get the resources they deserve, McCormick said. And I feel a kinship, even though I wore a different uniform. He was in the 82nd Airborne. To those who are willing to put on the uniform and put their lives at risk. He was a combat veteran in the Gulf War. McCormick charged Casey with supporting sanctuary cities and other open border policies that strain public resources and create difficulties for first responders. Philadelphia, which became a sanctuary city in 2016, where Mayor Jim Kenney did the white man's overbite in the hallway and said, "We are a sanctuary city, yay!" And then gave a bad high five to his chief of staff back then. Philadelphia has hosted a large portion of the 153,000 illegal immigrants estimated to be living in Pennsylvania. McCormick asked the question, what's Bob Casey done? He essentially supported policies that have made the jobs of these guys a lot tougher. He supports liberal prosecutors like Larry Krasner. He refuses to stand up for the border and tough border policies, and he voted against $800 million in funds for opioid and narcotic detection in the Senate. The secretary of the Firefighters Local 2022 Union, Jack Eltman, works daily to combat the fentanyl crisis in Kensington. He said Casey's absence has contributed to the epidemic, which he calls one of the biggest challenges of his career. He said, with the crisis in Kensington becoming nationally known, even our current senator has not been here or offered help. I'm tired of political promises never kept, and that's why we are supporting those who kept their promises. Remember, this comes on the heels of the Cook Political Report flipping Pennsylvania into toss-up territory. It was lean Democrat. It is now toss-up. How about that? That's a big deal. It's a very, very big deal. And Dave's got all the support of the cops, too. Got a big lot of support of the cops in Pennsylvania. All the unions, all the police unions have backed Dave McCormick. It's great stuff. Great stuff. Really great stuff. Let me play this for you. This is CNN reporter Kate Sullivan asking Donald Trump, let's cue up cut number 7, Kirk, about Jeffrey Goldberg's report in The Atlantic about Trump praising Hitler and the generals and everything else and the nonsense, which has been not been collaborated, by the way, corroborated by anybody. But several people, including Vice President Mike Pence's chief of staff, Nick Ayers, have come out and said it's absolutely BS. Never happened. Cut number 7.
Atlantic is reporting that you said that you wanted the kind of generals that Hitler had. Is that something that you've ever said?
No, I never said that. I would never say that. It's a rag that he made up stories. He's done it before. It's a failing magazine. Right before the election. It's just a failing magazine.
It is a failing magazine. That article had two major aspects of it debunked, both of the aspects. The one was that Trump stiffed the family of the woman who was murdered. And the second was that he was praising, saying he wanted generals like Hitler had. Both of those things have been debunked. And if that's the October surprise, oofa, that's not good. Mercedes Schlapp, who also worked for General Kelly, said the story was not true. Nobody has corroborated this, by the way. Nobody in the inner circle. Kelly is a bitter man. He's a vicious guy, and he wants to sell books. And that's what a lot of these Never Trumpers do. That's their income. It's being anti-Trump and wanting to sell books. There's a market for this. All you have to do is work for Trump and flip. You don't even have to really work for him. You could work for him for like 5 minutes. You could have been a guy in the old executive office building, the Eisenhower executive office building, on the fourth floor cleaning toilets. But if you come out and say Trump's a bad guy, you'll get a show on MSNBC. Oh, no, really? It's true. There's a lucrative market for it. If you want to make money, you just got to flip on Trump. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Wait, Matt DeSantis, I'm being told there's no Zeoli Army shirts on the merch store? Why is that? Somebody just sent me a screenshot of it. What is that about?
I don't know. Let me check this out. That's news to me.
I mean, why would they not have our shirts there unless they're all sold out? But still, I mean, I'm going on the site right now. I'm looking. Yeah, Dom Time, and there's a Kale & Company mug, and there's a Krasnerland shirt, and that's it. What, are we sold out? And more merch?
I don't know. We must have been really popular because we have nothing left on this website.
Huh. Okay. Well, then the good news is there's lots of Chinese knockoffs on the internet.
Yeah, this is a good news, bad news situation. Good news, we're very popular. People wanted our merchandise. Bad news, if you didn't get it, you might be out of luck for the time being. It'd be nice if we replenished the store before Christmas.
Henry just texted us and said shirts sell out fast when there's only 5 in stock. Yeah, I guess that's probably true. It's Somebody just texted me Scaramucci. What does that mean? What is? Oh, he's Scaramucci. Yeah, he worked for him for 11 days. 11 days. Remember that? That was the best Matt DeSantis, the mooch. Would come out to the podium, right? His hair's all slicked back, nice suit, come out to the podium, be like, ladies, how you doing? We're going to have a nice time together. Remember that? It lasted 11 days as press secretary. Got canned, and now he's making a living as being the anti-Trump guy. You realize if I flipped on Trump, right now, I would have a primetime show on CNN. They wouldn't even relegate me to Saturday mornings because I have hair.
Your hair looks very good today, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I'm looking at it right now. The haircut looks great. But yeah, Scaramucci,
Jackie, my stylist, I owe it all to her. She, you know, that and Rogaine, Propecia, and of course, Morty's wigs, you know, so... But otherwise, yeah, but no, I mean, if I flipped on Trump right now, I would have a primetime show on CNN. They'd make room for me. They'd be like, we would normally give you Saturday morning at 9 a.m. or 9:30, whatever the hell it is. But you've got hair, so we're going to put you in prime time. But so I'm not doing that. Just saying. The mooch. What is the mooch doing now? He's just tweeting a lot, right? Does he have a podcast?
Yeah, he has a podcast. He's on
everybody
TV a lot.
Everybody has a podcast. Who doesn't have a podcast at this point? Justin, you have a podcast yet?
I do not have a podcast yet. But
what are you waiting for?
It's in the planning stages, like all podcasts. It's going to take a while.
No, you just got to do it. Like my buddy Tom Aislebee, he started his Old Gravy podcast. He's doing really well with it. I was a guest on it. But his Old Gravy podcast, he just started it. He just started doing it. You just have to do it. That's all you got to do. You know what I mean? Just do it.
I got to find time in my busy schedule producing for the Rich Zeoli show. This comes first.
I agree. I got to get my podcast up and going again. It's just kind of hard when I'm talking for 4 hours a day. I really don't have much else to say after that. You know, that's the problem. But I was thinking about doing a morning podcast to kind of set the table for the day. What do you think about that?
That'd be interesting. I'd listen.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't listen. You don't watch when I'm on TV. Why would you listen to a podcast I did?
I'm busy on Saturdays, but Monday through Friday, I'm pretty open.
He's busy on Saturdays. That's unbelievable. All right, listen, Garden State Earthworks is going to take care of you if you have water problems in your yard. Because, listen, water problems never get better. They only get worse. And winter's coming. You know what that means, right? That water is going to get into the foundation of your house, get into the cracks. It's going to expand and thaw. It's a mess when it freezes. So what you want to do is you want to call my buddy Lou Vargo at Garden State Earthworks today at 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. Now, we've had two times we've had to use Lou. First house we bought down here had a wet basement. He drained the water away. We never had another drop of water in that basement ever again. Second time was this new house where the backyard was a literal swamp, like something out of D.C. Lou Vargo, Garden State Earthworks, they drain the water away. Our backyard is great. You don't want that standing water. Breeds mosquitoes, causes all kinds of problems. And with winter coming, get it fixed now. And he's very busy because he's the best at what he does. But if you reach out to him, he'll make you a priority since I sent you. 856-848-4444, 856-848-4444, or go to GardenStateEarthworks.com, GardenStateEarthworks.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so I went a little long there last segment, but we have Congresswoman Elise Stefanik joining us next, so I want to take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll have her join us. But we're streaming live on YouTube right now, so join the fun over there and chat away, all right? Let's do this. And one thing I want to mention, though, as we head to the closing arguments of this and everybody's looking at Pennsylvania, is that I'm hearing the turnout numbers are huge throughout the state. But there is an issue in Lancaster County. District Attorney today announcing an investigation into potential voter fraud. We're going to talk about that on the show as well. And as Dave McCormick, and he continues right now to just close the gap with Casey, in some ways you might argue some polls are showing that he's winning. That is a direct sign, I think, that Pennsylvania is going to have a very, very good day when it comes to the Republicans on Election Day. I really do. I'm feeling very, very good about it. And I think Casey's a great metric for that. We'll talk about all this straight ahead. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik from New York. She's a fighter. She's going to be my guest straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.